begin by saying thank you for allowing me to come and speak with you this morning. And I hope that what I have prepared to speak on will be encouraging and uplifting and will help you gain a better understanding of God's Word. And it'll be something that you can apply within your life to become a stronger Christian, become a better example for others. With having that said, I want to direct your minds to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. This is a scripture that many of us have probably heard throughout our lives and may have studied a couple times here and there. And this is where Paul writes, and he says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about who Paul was throughout his whole life. The example that he became for others. And I want you to think and consider for yourself, could I make such a statement to someone else? Could I look at somebody else and say, imitate me just as I imitate Christ, and you can have hope or can have assurance that you will have a home in heaven with God. Imitate me. Now, when we look and we study in the Bible, it's very important that we draw encouragement from these different people that we read of. And today I want to study how we can draw on who Paul was and what he did within his life to help us become better and stronger Christians. When we read about Paul, we understand that in the beginning of his life, he began as a Jew, being a Pharisee. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, he said, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. So this is before he became Paul, when he was still Saul. He was going around persecuting others. And when we think about this time in Paul's life, we can say, and we understand that he would not be that example that we would want to imitate or to follow. But later in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, as he's going to Damascus, the Lord is speaking here to Ananias, and he says, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel." The Lord said this about Paul. He became this great influence, this great encouragement, this great example for us to follow. We understand that Paul made a bunch of changes throughout his life. Not only did he change his name, but instead of being the one who is persecuting, he became the one whom he persecuted. And then he took and he said, you know, this law that I pushed on others that you need to follow, that Mosaic law, that is wrong because it was nailed to the cross. You need to become a Christian. He became this great example. He exemplified what it meant to repent and to change and to make that complete turn in his life and align himself with Christ. So today, as we go throughout this study, what I want you to do, what I want you to ask yourself is, do I have these qualities that Paul had? And we're going to look at just a few here this morning. First, Paul was honest. In Acts chapter 23, in verse 1, it says, "And Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.'" Everything that he had done to this point, he thought at that time it was what he needed to do. When he was a Pharisee, he went about worshiping the Lord as best as he could in the way that he was taught and the way that he was raised. And then later in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience." Paul always had a pure conscience even before he became a Christian. And he was honest in following the law of Moses during that time. And he did not go against his conscience. He did nothing against it. But what I want you to do is turn with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. See, here Paul is going to be at a crossroads. He's going to have to make a decision. Because he said that I had lived in all good conscience. So he believed that he was doing the best that he could to serve God according to what he knew. But here on his road to Damascus, he's going to run into a situation. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed, or as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do.'" See, look, right here he has this encounter with Christ, and he says, "What do you want me to do?" He says, "You're going to find out. You're going to go to the city, and you're going to find out." And when he's told these things, what he must do, he became a Christian. If you drop down to verse 20 with me, this is after he is baptized, after he's obeyed, and he's heard the truth, he's believed it. It says immediately after these things, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Think about that. Think about how honest Paul would have been in this moment. He's told, "This is not the way. You are persecuting me. Stop doing this. You need to obey my voice. You need to obey me." And so he does. He goes through, he believes, he is then baptized, and then he says, "You know what? I am so convinced in what I know, that Jesus is the Son of God," he immediately goes and preaches Christ to others. It takes a lot of strength to do that. And for him, it would have been very difficult to be faced with that. "You mean to tell me that everything I've done up to this point has been wrong?" Yes, Paul, it was wrong, but here is the way that you should go. And Paul saw the truth and followed it. Paul was not only honest, but Paul was strong. Have you ever made a change in your life? Have you ever changed maybe your route to work? Tried to change your diet? It's so hard to make even just a simple change. About 3 years ago, I got married. And I lived in my parents' home. And I drove one way to work every time. And I did everything a certain way whenever I lived at my parents' house. But then whenever I got married, for those of you who are married, you understand you have to be open to compromise. First, I had to change my route to work. I had to go a different way. Second, I had to start doing the dishes differently. Instead of putting all the soap in, I had to just put the soap on the one and then wash it. So my wife's going to give me a hard time about this afterwards. So I had to change that. I had to change my way of thinking. I can't just go and spend all these hours that I think are my free time and do what I want, because now I have somebody else and it's her time, not just my time. So I need to consider all these other things. And so it's hard to make those changes, but over time it gets easier with your attitude as your attitude changes. Think about the change that Paul had to make. It wasn't the way or the route he took to work. It wasn't the way that he washed dishes or whatever it may have been. He had to change his entire thinking. Everything. The way that he lived. He had to change it. And he had the strength to admit that he was wrong. How hard is that to admit that you were wrong? You know, when we first got married, I learned a lesson very, very quickly. I am not right most of the time. I will say something and Brandy will say, "No, that's not it." And I'm convinced it is. She says no, and then about a day or a couple days later, I realized, "Oh, you were right. I'm sorry." It's hard to admit that sometimes, but Paul had the strength to say, the way I live my life is not right. These things that I was practicing are not right. I need to make a change within my life. Paul had the strength not only to change, but to overcome and accept his past. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 through 27, if you'll just look down at these passages with me, it says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barabbas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Now I want you to think right there. Think about the moment you became a Christian. You were so excited, you were happy because you knew you were right with God. And then you want to join, and you walk into a congregation, you want to be a part of it, you want to be strengthened, you want to be edified, and what do? They turn their back and they say, "No. We are afraid of you. We don't believe you. We think this is all just some fake thing that you are doing to get us comfortable, and then you're going to take us and throw us in prison," or whatever it is. Think about Paul at this time. How much strength it would have taken to see that. And for him to say, "I understand. I understand why you have your reservations." Did this stop him though? No, because Paul continued and he said, "No, look, I did change, and the change was evident." Turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and verse 4. Acts 26 and verse 4. Now here is where Paul is standing in front of Agrippa, and he's going to talk a little about his past. It says in verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first. If they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise are 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day, hoping to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews." I'm going to stop there. He said, all of these other people have known me from the beginning. They know what I did. They know how I lived. But I made this change. Right? I accept what I've done in my past, but I'm different now. I'm not that same person. When you are faced with those who have known you your entire life, they've known all the mistakes that you have made. How hard is it when those are brought back to you? When you have to look back and say, "Yes, I did make that mistake." It's hard to look back and say, and not be completely embarrassed by some of the things we've done within our life. But Paul didn't allow that embarrassment to keep him from serving the Lord. Paul had the strength to continue on even when he was persecuted. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool." And this is as he went on this little spiel here about some things that he had done. He said, "I am more so. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation?" Think about what Paul went through. All the persecutions he faced. He's shipwrecked. He's beaten. He's thrown in prison for what he believed. He's mistreated by everyone he comes in contact with. And yet he had the strength to overcome it. He didn't give in to these persecutions and become discouraged and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with this. It was easier the way I lived my life before. He said, no, I'm going to continue on because there's a reward that is so much greater than this life. There is a reward waiting for me, a home in heaven with God that I want to work for, I want to have, I want to be with my Lord forever, praising Him in heaven, being comforted by Him. I will suffer through these earthly persecutions, whatever they might be, however they might come, so that I can have that reward. At what point would you have been discouraged? At what point would you have given in? Remember, I want you to continually ask yourself, do I have the strength of Paul? Do I have the honesty of Paul? Because it's so important as Christians that we do. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Look at what Christ went through. Look at what Paul went through. We need to have the strength to endure and overcome these things. Paul was not only strong, but Paul was zealous. As we looked at briefly here a couple minutes ago in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, it says immediately he preached Jesus. Immediately he went and began to spread the gospel message. He could not wait after hearing the words to go and tell others of their need for Christ and to share the great news. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. Matthew 20 and verse 1. We're going to read a parable here of Christ. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the workplace, or in the marketplace, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. Did Paul wait until that 11th hour to do the Lord's work? To begin sowing that seed for God? No, Paul believed and immediately he went out. Look at that zeal that he had. All that zeal he had as a Pharisee, he took and he applied it for Christ. We need to have that zeal of Paul. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, Paul was on Mars Hill. And he walked up and he began speaking to the intellectuals, the philosophers of the day, about the unknown God. I want you to put yourself in his spot. Would you have that type of boldness? That type of zeal to just walk into a situation like that? You know that these people need Christ. And say, you know what, I'm going to teach even them. Now, I'll tell you from my own personal standpoint, I would have felt inferior in knowledge to them. But Paul knew that he had knowledge, he had wisdom they had not yet attained. Because his wisdom, his knowledge was in Christ. And he wanted to teach them. Do you have the zeal of Paul? Paul was also bold. In Acts 24, you can read that he proclaimed the truth in the presence of the governor. Paul did not hide the truth from any, spoke confidently to them regarding Christ. Would you have been timid and withheld the truth from speaking Christ to them? Let's apply it today. Let's say that there's the president of the United States of America walks in one day. For some reason, he's here, and he walks into the services. What are you going to preach on? your need for salvation, that you need to repent? Does your message change at all to something that just feels good and makes him feel good as he walks out the door? Are you going to preach the truth as Paul would have? When Paul spoke, he spoke so it pierced his listeners in the heart. And whether they obeyed the gospel or not, you can tell it did something to them. It either made them realize their condition, or they rose up in anger and persecuted him. But he spoke the truth. He hid it from no one. If the president walked in, or any other high-ranking official walked in, what would you tell them? What would you preach to them? Paul was bold. Paul commanded the attention of those he spoke to. Again, because he knew that they needed something. And that something was Christ and that salvation, the redemption that he offers to all who believes. Lastly, Paul was ready. Paul was ready to proclaim the truth from the moment he was baptized. He did not hesitate because he understood how important it was to take every and any opportunity to teach others about Christ and the coming judgment. How ready are you? Are you prepared to tell others about the hope that is in Jesus Christ? Do you have the understanding? Do you have the knowledge of the Scriptures to be able to tell them about what they need to do? Do you believe in what you teach? It seems ridiculous to ask that question, but this is something we do need to consider. Do we truly believe in what we say? How are you going to convert someone and convince them of their need for salvation when you're not even convinced? You're not sure in your own faith. You need to practice what you're preaching and be convinced of it. Paul was ready to press onward. He did not allow for his past mistakes to debilitate him and hinder him from doing the work of the Lord. He understood that the love of the Lord is great. Therefore, if he was obedient, then God's love would forgive all his sins and mistakes. Through Christ's sacrifice, Paul knew that he could be washed clean, made anew. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. We talked about a little bit this morning in class that we have all sinned. Romans 3, verse 23. We've all made mistakes. We will make mistakes. We will sin in the future. We're not. Once you're baptized, and you don't become perfect. Right? This is something you work at your entire life, is becoming more faithful, more obedient, more Christ-like. So you have to understand you're going to mess up, but God's love is there. If you approach Him in prayer, you have a repentant heart. You say, Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm going to change my way. And you start to do that, the Lord is going to forgive you. Trust Him. Don't allow that sin or whatever it was to hold you back. Because the more that you consider it and you say, well, this is all people are going to see. I made this mistake before. Right? If you made that mistake before, leave it there. Otherwise, it's going to continue to pull you back, and you won't have the influence that you should. Paul said, look, I've made these mistakes in my life. I'm going to leave those things behind because they're not good for me. They're not there to help me, encourage me, lift me up in my faith. I'm going to continue to press on for that goal that's in Christ Jesus. Are you ready to press on?
And Paul was ready for death. Death. The one thing that scares most people did not frighten Paul, because he was prepared to die knowing there was a reward awaiting him. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul wrote, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul was ready for death. He lived his life on earth, understanding that his eternal soul was at stake. He did not want to risk facing eternal torment, but he worked day after day after day to ensure that he would have a home in heaven with his God. Are you ready for death? Are you ready for the day of judgment? It's going to come as a thief in the night. We're not going to know. But you can be prepared for it. You can be like Paul and say, "I have kept the faith. I am prepared to die whenever it comes, because I know I will be with my Lord." Are you working? Are you abounding in your faith and in the work of God to have confidence in knowing that you do have a reward awaiting you? Paul was honest. Paul was strong. Paul was zealous. He was bold. And he was ready. The Christian needs to be all of these things. Are you? Can these qualities be named or described as you? I have often been told that preparation is the key. You've looked through the New Testament. You look through the teachings of Christ. You need to be prepared, because you do not know when this day will come. You need to make preparation for eternal life. For those who have not yet began that preparation, start today. Right? Have that zeal as Paul had. Understand you're missing out on a great reward. And if you desire this, if you have not yet already believed, you haven't been baptized, or you haven't obeyed that call to salvation, there's a couple of things you must do. First, you must hear the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you are here this morning, this is what we looked at. Right? You heard the Word of God. Secondly, you must believe. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe in two things. That He is God. He is the Almighty God, Creator of all things. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's the hope that you have to continue the work for day after day. If you have heard, if you believe, then you must repent. Repent of your past sins. Right? Turn from them and become more Christ-like. Once you have repented, make that great confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized for salvation, to be washed from your sins. And continue day after day living out God's will. Serving Him in any and every way that you can. If there is any in the audience who has not yet obeyed the gospel call, you desire to do so. Or maybe you have. Maybe you realize, I'm not living my life right. I'm not doing what I ought to be doing, and I need the prayers of the congregation. Please, we invite you to come to the front pew as we stand and sing the song of invitation.